Thank you, Harry. For are you singing unto him now and think about him? Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary. Before you. Amen and amen. If that's your desire to be a sanctuary for the Lord, then if it's your desire, then God will make a way for it to take place. Because he works upon our desires. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Good to see our visitors with us. We have about three, I think, today. And we always say to you, when you come one time, we say welcome to you. Because you're just a visitor. But when you come back two times, you're just part of us. Because we don't have anything to join up with or anything like that. We're just part of the body of Christ. And we're always glad to see people come and fellowship around the word of the Lord. Amen. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to Revelation 20, and we'll read just a few verses. Now remember that the Lord willing, this coming Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday morning, we will be having services. Sunday after, when we finish with the morning service, we will be having a dinner together for everybody, you know, in fellowship together around a meal. And all, and just then won't be having an evening service. So tell everybody that, especially those that you know that maybe comes on the afternoon and don't come in the morning. So make sure and tell them that we're going to not have an afternoon service. And if they come, they'll get here in time enough to eat dinner with us or something. But, you know, that's all right. But, you know, just tell everybody that. Brother Keith Reed from Jamaica will be here with us. Everybody here knows him, basically. And he's a wonderful brother. And I want him to just kind of pour his heart out to us in like three services in a row and just have a good time in the Lord, you know, like that. Remember that. Brother Harris is down in Atlanta today. He called and said he would be speaking for a brother there, Brother Tony. Now, not Brother Ojiabesa. There's another Brother Tony that's got a church in Atlanta. And Brother Harris is down speaking for him today. So remember that. And then Brother Wade is out in Oklahoma. So remember that and just pray that the Lord would bless him. And all, we had a real good time in the fellowship meeting yesterday and all, and it was a good time. They had a lot of sirens going off, but we wasn't concerned. Everything, the Lord took care of everything, and he took care of everybody here because he went around to come over where Brother Bob and them were at and everything. And but the Lord took care of everybody and just kind of split off at home and went around us. So we appreciate him. Appreciate him taking care of him. We appreciate the rain. You know, and sometimes you got to have storms and things to have rain, but we need the rain, so we appreciate it. But amen, just remember that. Okay, Revelations 20. If I missed any announcements, there is a shower, but Terrence has announced that, but something on it, so y'all can get that together. He can announce it this afternoon. Revelations 20. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, for the time that we have. We thank you for an opportunity to be able to hear thy word. And truly we know and realize that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Lord, we this day then, we wait upon you to speak to our hearts as to what to say to your people. We have notes written for a message or whatever, but yet we wait entirely upon you, and you can change everything that you desire. But we pray that you'd bless. Remember the sick. There's many sicknesses among us, and we believe your word. You said you sent your word and you healed us and you delivered from destruction. So we believe that. We know that it's not something we could do in ourselves, but it's what we believe that you have already done. It's a finished product of Calvary, and we love you and we thank you. Just have your way now. Forgive our sins because we know that we fail you all the time, Lord, but just cover us by the blood and keep us. Guide us now as we endeavor to speak about you in Jesus' name. Revelations 20. We'll start with verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid his hand on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. Now, that's not two people there. That's devil, even Satan. And bound him 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Now, Brother Branham says that that's not a log chain. That's a chain of circumstances, because there's just nobody to work through, because he's bound from that part. And won't that be a wonderful time? But you know, if he can't bind it in us, we might have problems getting there. So we better yield to that part of it to let him get rid of those things, right? And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years was finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on which the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. Now, we've been studying for some time now on the book of Revelations, and trying to see the things that is written therein. And it's like I've told you many, many times, the book of Revelations is a very special book. It's written especially to you. Not that all the rest of it is not, you know, written to you and I. All of the Word is written to us. But the book of Revelation is really written about us, because it's showing Christ in the future work of the church. Like I've said, then, from the time of the day of Pentecost, you don't see Jesus Christ by himself as a person or, you know, a form that would show him totally by himself, because it's like a husband and wife. No matter where I go, everybody knows who my wife is and everything, because they know that we're one. So it's not something I don't have to go around introducing them to everybody. It always generally gets around a little bit. That's Brother Dale's wife, you know, or something like that. It's, you know, and all, because we're just one in Christ. And that's the way the bride in Christ is. See, they're one together. And page 74, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, the prophet said, he said, the bride is part of the mystery, the threefold mystery. All God was poured into Christ, all Christ in the church. Take her back to the Garden of Eden. She's part of the threefold mystery, and she must be revealed. So the book of Revelation is the revealing of Jesus Christ. Now, not revealing you and I, because we're not worthy to be revealed. We're garbage can junked anyway. We're not even worthy of anything that God would give us. But it is he that hath chose us. He made us what we are. All right. Then in doing that, he's pleased to dwell in you and I and show himself to the world in bride form. So the book of Revelation is dealing with showing the bride form. See, the form that God is revealing himself by. The last form, or the word imorphe, which means to change in form, you know, from like a play or something like that, where you change, one person plays many parts. All right. See, then in this, we're seeing ourselves in the book of Revelation. Seeing ourselves right there in the Word, and seeing what it's talking about us. Amen. You and I. Making known who we are, showing our part. All right. See, then, like I said, now don't look in the book of Revelations. There's where the problem with the people is. They read it and they can't see that it's talking about them. That's the mystery. And it's hard to read something about yourself when it doesn't say self above it, right? You know, it doesn't say, that's me. But God doesn't do it that way. He wrote it where it could be revealed to everybody. All right. Everybody in the world could receive the word if they would receive the word. Right? But they won't do it. All right. So then whose problem is it? Who does the wrong? Not God. Because he wrote it. He said he would that everybody be saved. Because his name is Savior. That's who he is. And he would that everybody in the world be saved. But they won't do it. Why? Because a pardon is not a pardon unless it's accepted as a pardon. All right. See, if you won't accept your freedom, then Christ is not obligated to save you. But if you do accept your freedom, then he's obligated to make that manifest.
Right. Amen.
So if you want God obligated today, just accept him as your Savior.
Right.
Just accept what he says about you.
Right.
Then that puts him obligated to me and you.
Right.
It's like I've always said, I've known Danny Fountain a long time. Well, see, by knowing him a long time, I know his nature, his ways, and his doings, and all like that. And in doing that, I know what kind of how to expect it out of him. You know, I know how to expect him to act or react, because I've known him a long time. Well, I think it ought to be that we've known God long enough until we ought to be realizing what he's doing. And what he's doing it in you. That's the secret of the end time. Is that God has joined himself to the church so much until there's no way to see him unless you look at her.
Amen.
All right, then we were on last week, or the other week there, at the Revelation 19 where it says, and his wife hath made herself ready. She's put on the wedding garments. What is the wedding garments? The word of God.
Amen.
What? Revealed. Not just because you could take and make clothes out of Bibles. That wouldn't clothe you. That might cover up the outside of you enough to keep the nakedness away, but that's not what God's talking about. The revealed word is what I want to be clothed with. I want to be found, as Paul said, not having mine own righteousness, but having his righteousness. Which is a revelation of God's word. All right? See, then in that I can rest assured.
Right.
I don't worry. The storms come, the things go wrong. You just relax. And you say, well, God, I'm in your hands. You know, you take care of me. See? All right. But now listen. See, then we covered in Revelation 19, 16, going on down, 15, 14, 13, 14, 15, and on into 16, to where it finishes up to say that he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, that, I want to make a point. That is the meaning of his name. That is a title. See, a title to what a name really is, or saying what that name is. All right? You understand? See why it's called as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, showing that he is, you know, who he is. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he being King of Kings, then there's got to be some kings. And there in Revelation 19, when it gets to that part, when it says that, it's all in capital letter. Showing that you can't separate the king from the kings. You can't separate the Lord from the Lords. But that's not our name and that's not his name. His name is not King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what his name means. All right? That's what his name means, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, get what I'm saying, and we'll move on into a point. As long as he's the Lamb, Redeemer, Savior, Healer, etc., his name is Jesus, Redeemer. Right? So that's the only name that God ever had. Jehovah's not a name. Yahweh's not a name. Elohim's not a name. Those are just what I said about King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's titles to a name. Sonny Perdue, governor of the state of Georgia. Huh? You know, you can go around all the time saying, governor of the state of Georgia. Well, I remember when Axe Handle used to be governor. I'm a little older than most of you. Axe Handle Maddox used to be governor of the state of Georgia, and that's the way he wound up getting to be president. Alright? But you see, if you just say governor, we've got 50 states and they got 50 governors. Right? But see, I want to know what his name is.
Right.
I want to know who he is.
Right.
But now his titles describe the character of his name.
Right.
You understand what I'm getting at? I'm just trying to lay something down and then we'll move on into a point. The things that you're like, I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a human, I'm a pastor, I'm a grandfather, fixing to be before long, be a great grandfather, but that's not my name. But that's what my name means. Now, take out any of those things at the stage that I'm in would not be the fulfillment of my name, correct? So now that's what I want you to get to. See, well, I didn't have time to finish the message there the other night about it. But see, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Right.
Now, who or what is his name? Alright. Now, the prophet said that one day that Jesus overcame and said, when he did, said he received a new name. And I gave you a quote there where he said it on page 158 of the seal book. He said that new name would be revealed in the thunders. Well, that's what everybody goes to now, you know. Well, what is the new name? What is the new name? You think you know the thunders? What is the new name? See? They have no thoughts whatsoever about the truth of what you're trying to say. All their point is just trying to show how smart they are to say, what is his new name? Well, then I gave you another quote where the prophet in the same seal book, 47, that was page 158, and I gave you the second quote, page 471, which is questions and answers on the seals. He said it'll probably be made known when we get there. Well, all right. That's fine. And see, you don't dare try to conjure it up. They've even tried to make the new name of Jesus, William Branham, and a lot of people got baptized in his name years ago because they thought that was the name of God. Just as Moses was the name of God back there, see, because it was God made manifest in that form, or, you know. So they baptized in the name of William Branham. But he called that to a halt. Of course, after he died, they probably went back to doing it again, but still he called a halt to it because it was wrong. All right? They tried to make his new name Melchizedek. You know, all kind of things like that. All right? But see, they're just conjuring at it, poking at it. Well, there's no need of doing that when there's so much good to preach. Why fool around with poking at something? Just say what the prophet said and go on with it. But see, when it comes to the time of the millennial reign, he is no longer the Lamb. Are you listening? Now, he'll be a Lamb to Israel, so don't get your story messed up. He'll always be the Lamb. Because in the book of Revelation, when we get over to the future home and the thing, it says, for the Lamb is there. You'll never do away. Don't ever do away with any of the attributes of God. Even when he gets to the position that there won't be anybody else to be saved, we'll still know he was a Savior. All right? So it won't be something you don't do away with. You keep bringing it in. It's like I said, I'm a son. But then one day I became married. They made me a husband. Then one day, because of that union, I become a father. And then one day a grandfather. And so before long, now I'm going to be great-grandfather. Well, see, I don't want to do away with any of that. Just because I become great-grandfather won't do away with the fact that I was father or the fact that I was a human or son or whatever. See, God didn't gain any attributes coming into the world either. He had those attributes before the world ever begun. He just displayed his attributes. We helped him display that. He couldn't have been a Savior had there not been a fall. He couldn't have been a healer had there not been sickness brought. We helped him bring that into being. But we don't glory in that point. We glory in the fact of what he is. You see, that's where you miss it in the seal book when it calls for a lion. There's the call in the seal. It calls for a lion. But John looked and saw a lamb. Because he's not king at that position of a lamb. He's a Savior, a Redeemer, a Deliverer. But one day he'll be king. He will be the lion. There's when it says that it roars like a lion. There's where you go to push. To a position that before we leave this world, we, the prophet said, I'm trying to get to the page number, it's 176, I think, of the seal book. Anyhow, he said, we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Huh? See, while we're right here. All right. See, then redemption can be over while we're here, and will be over before the bride leaves in the rapture. Of course, they taught that about 40 years ago and said it was over. Well, I didn't believe it because I wasn't saved. That's the reason I didn't believe it. Well, they had a lot of quotes, Brother Dale, but I don't care about the quote because it was my soul that was what was involved. So I know it wasn't over back there, but one day it will be over. And we know that. And he'll be no longer called Lamb. He'll be no longer be called Savior. He'll be called King. But that's only to the bride. Because the rest of the world, he's still a Savior when he goes to Israel. He's still a lamb as he goes to Israel. He's even a lamb having to do at the white throne judgment. Which is where we read there, you know, that there were thrones. He'll still have to be the lamb standing there to pay the price for the foolish virgins, the ones that are given eternal life. You know, he'll still have to be that. But see, to you and I, we become one with him. So we can ride into the millennium with him. Now remember, I'll give you the page number later. I had it and I forgot to copy it off this morning. But you've heard it enough, you ought to know. Brother Branham in the Conduct, Order, and Doctrine gave the order of what would take place. He said the next thing is the rapture. He said then there's two witnesses comes on the scene to Israel for their 3.5 years of ministry. He said then you have what is known as Armageddon. See? Alright? Which takes place in the tribulation. And then you have the millennial reign. Then you have Satan loose for a little season. And we're just following the book of Revelation through. And then given what exactly he said it would be, so it proves out he said what the Bible said. That's what I was trying to show you Wednesday. If you needed the point of knowing that Brother Branham was right about the Son of Man and The bride being the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the book of Revelation proves it.
Amen.
See, then you have you have the battle of Armageddon, and you have the millennium. Then Satan's loose for a little season. Then you have the white throne judgment. And then you have the battle of Gog and Magog. Then you have the future home to take place. You know, that's the way the prophet laid it out, and I remember that because, see, a lot of people, you know, Brother Branham will say, if I don't see you anymore, I'll see you in the millennium. And they say, next thing that happens is the millennium. The prophet said it. The next time he sees us, it'll be the millennium. No, he doesn't give you the order. The Bible doesn't give you the order of what takes place one after the other. Alright? See? But now, listen to what I'm getting at. But see, there will be a day come that in the Revelation 19 where it says he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is not the world. They don't see that. They don't even see that position there. I know what a lot of people in the message just taught about Revelation 19, but I'm just sorry, I just believe what is said and just go on and forget it. I don't argue with them what they believe, because that's what, if they want to believe that, the Constitution gives you a right to do that. The Bible don't, but the Constitution does. Right? Bible don't give you a right to believe anything but what God says. Right? But now listen. See, a lot of people think that we're going to ride back with Him. And we're going to fight. Boy, they just preach it, man, we'll be on them white horses, and we'll just ride back with Him, and we'll just fight, and we'll just wipe off all them Romans and all them people and just destroy it all, and then the millennium will take place. Well, I thought the prophet said Revelation 19, where it comes to that, was the bride riding back into the millennium. That's what I thought he said. We don't ride back into the millennium to fight. Besides, what kind of a fight would it be? The natural people of the world, how much of a contest would they be with you? And you have done already been eternal for 3.5 years that you've gone to the marriage supper. Body, spirit, and soul already eternal. What kind of a battle would that be? Well, it's fighting them devils. That's what we're doing now. And that's what we're doing now, is overcoming that devil that's penetrating that mind, like right now, saying, what in the world is he talking about? I'm talking about just what the Bible tells you. Just what the prophet has said. I'm doing the same thing I've always done, just try to tell you the truth about it. In my own southern kind of a way, and, you know, the way I speak. But yet, just listen to what I'm saying. When that King of Kings and Lord of Lords comes into the millennium to you and I, ever what that name he has is the name we have. Because he's King of Kings. That's not worldly kings there. His worldly kings, it would be in a little bitty letter. No, uh-uh. Same one. If your Bible don't say it, mine does, and everybody else mostly that I've talked to said it. And all of the, I've had 26 translations, and they all agree that it says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, in the italicized letter to let you know. But see, ever who that king is, that's who them kings are. And I thought Revelation 5 said that we'd be priests and kings. Come on, sisters, you'll be kings then. Because this is not a natural situation. This is a spiritual condition of the body of Jesus Christ. Where the body of Jesus Christ will be the same as Him, because the Bible said even that we'll have a body like unto His. We'll be like Him. That don't mean like looking like. You know. That don't mean a cologne either. That means the same person. That's what I'm trying to get you to see about the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation shows you the same person in another form, which is the bride. And when he comes riding back, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who we are.
Amen.
He's the King, we're the kings.
Right.
It don't say King of King.
Right.
King of Kings.
Amen.
All right. And He's the Lord of Lords.
Right.
Okay? See, because at that time, we have become one. Because that's riding back into the millennium. And I gave you the quotes where the prophet said that it would be riding back into the millennium, future home. Paragraph 68, or I guess it's page 68 of the future home. Where he said, we come back in the millennium on a honeymoon. See, we done been to the marriage supper. But really, in Bible terminologies, we're a little bit different than what we have. Because when we have a wedding here, we have a wedding supper, and then we have a wedding. But in the Bible terminologies, we're already married to Christ by the new birth. We're going to a marriage supper, which is a celebration, for the 3.5 years while Israel's getting their message. But see, we're married to Him now. Okay? All right? But all the world's not married to Him. And Israel's not married to Him. That's why the prophet said when it comes to the millennial reign, even the 144,000 will just be servants to the bride. They get to go to the millennium, but it's only servants to the bride. But are you getting what I'm saying? His name then will be King of Kings. It won't be Lamb anymore. It won't be Jesus Redeemer anymore. But it can be Jesus King. He said, well, I thought we were going to learn what the new name was. Well, I'd be trying to conjure it up if I did, other than saying what I believe. I'd be no different than anybody else calling it Melchizedek or Samuel Dale or Levale or anybody else. Aaron. Only trouble you ever get in with all of that is you got troubles with them guys. Don't type me as Moses. Don't type me as Aaron. Because each one of them's got flaws. Just type me in Christ is where I want to be put. But are you listening? See, when we ride back into the millennium, it says on later, we'll get back into Scripture in a minute, said the bride, the wife. See, we talk about her being bride up until Revelation 19, and then she's wife, signifying growth and development. Amen. And signifying that he's showing that that's not Israel, that's bride.
Amen.
Right. Wife. But then you get back over in the book of Revelation, and it says, where he starts to show in the future home, which is Revelation 21, verse 9, says, I come and I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Bringing it all back together to where we see all of it. But listen, when He comes as King, His name will not be Redeemer. That's the secret of the entire message, the Bible and all. His name won't be Redeemer anymore, because when He becomes our King, we become kings with Him. We don't have an eternal covenant. Did you know that? Yeah, we do. Now, we have eternal life. Don't misunderstand my statement. I'll be glad to find this quote in the prophet. We don't have an eternal covenant because once we're redeemed, you don't need the covenant anymore. Once you're returned back to the original position you should have been, you no longer need a covenant. So we don't have an eternal covenant, we have an everlasting covenant. Which is why we're here upon earth. Alright? But see, this is not upon earth, except coming back into the millennium after the rapture's done taking place. After Israel's done received their word, and after Armageddon has already transpired, which the word Armageddon means termination of forces, and Satan is bound 1,000 years. All right. That's why you get Revelation 20. You got to back up to 19 to see that you're riding into the millennium. But 20 talks about him being bound for 1,000 years. That's why he don't have nobody to work through. Why? Because only the ones that are there in the millennium are the ones that have already overcome the devil and his ways. Now there'll be a people in the millennium, yeah. There'll be a heathen in the millennium, yeah. We know that. There'll be a lot of things in the millennium. But there won't be nobody he can work through. Why? Because the bride has him bound. But like I said a while ago, if you and I don't get to the point of binding him here, we don't need to worry much about going there. There would be battles going on. But the greatest battle ever fought is right here in your brain. But listen, he's King of Kings. And Lord of Lords. By that time, we know what his new name is. Because it's changed from Lamb to King. And remember, when the thunder sounds, it's under a lion. Lion is king. That's why we talk about thunders. But yet, what else can you say but what the prophet said? The thunder is the voice of God when the seal broke. That's what he said. Well, we've tried to figure out if brother so-and-so is a thunder, and this brother over here is another thunder, and this one over there is another thunder, and you know, all kind of things. Until you got a lot of thunder and lightning. But you don't have a still small voice. Because that's what Elijah went after. And I'm not making light, I'm just telling it like it is. Elijah didn't move with the thunders and the lightning. He stayed in that cave. But when he heard the still small voice, then he went out. Kind of like I heard a man say one time, said these people talk about, in the what's called the message, said they call themselves eagles. He said the biggest bunch of chickens I've ever seen. Well, man, I've chased chickens all day long trying to kill them. Not these old hothouse things you got now. But when we was kids, we had to run that chicken down. They could fly. But listen, you see what I'm talking about? It's a honeymoon. The millennium is a honeymoon. You think by the time we come back to a honeymoon, don't you think the bride knows who her master is? You don't find Eliezer on the honeymoon with Isaac and Rebecca, do you? I mean, when they got to the position and got married, Eliezer ain't seen no more. He's off the scene. By the time we come to there, Brother Branham ain't going to be off the scene. He's going to be part of us. That's what I was trying to get you to see the other day. The people of this message put Brother Branham outside of the Bride of Christ. No. He was a born-again believer that put him in the Bride of Christ. That's why I read that part about there. Blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no part. Second death is the death of the soul. Not the death of your body. Second death is the death of the soul. Now, but the first resurrection is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The new birth that was received on the day of Pentecost put that resurrection inside of them. Paul wanted to be part of a out resurrection, the prophet said. He didn't need the new birth. He had that. He knew what that was, but he wanted to have an out resurrection. What? Out from among the denominationalism that had already started. Out from among man's ideas that had already started, contrary to the word. That was the kind of resurrection he wanted. He had the resurrection, which was a new birth. The prophet said, your resurrection lays in you in your spirit. You see, blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That's what the millennium is. Those who are in the first resurrection are the ones riding on the horses with him. Because he's on a white horse and they're on a white horse. Powers. You don't have to come thundering out of heaven riding on a white horse, and that's why a white horse is riding. That means power and authority.
Right.
He's coming back as King of Kings.
Right.
But see, it's like I've always said about David. What if all Israel was like David? What if all of the Israelites was like David? Well, they wouldn't have cared about the giants. But see, once David brought it into, you know, in other words, showing God was with him, all Israel did raise up and run off the rest of them. Like the brother was talking about last night, Shamgar there took a ox goad and killed 6,000, I think it was. He just got tired of being pushed around. Well, I think it's about time for us to be quit being pushed around. Now listen to what I'm saying. I ain't talking about some kind of a doctrine, because if you're pushed around by doctrine, you ought not be listening to the doctrine. Blunt, plain. If you're having trouble with other people's doctrines, what are you doing listening to them? Well, I don't know who's right. Well, God's right. I ain't saying not to listen to somebody else. I've never said nothing to you like that. But if what you hear preached here, and then you hear somebody else somewhere else, and you agree with that, you got a problem. So the best thing to do is go with that person. If you agree with that doctrine, you'll just go with them. That's the best way to say it. I don't have no trouble with you. This church wasn't built on trying to beg people to come here. It was built on telling you don't let that door hit you as you go out the back. Not trying to run you off either. We're trying to get you to be what God wants you to be.
Right.
Word-born bride.
Amen.
When we come to that position where He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, she's just exactly like Him.
Right.
You can't separate her from Him.
Right.
You don't see her and then see Him. You see her and know it's Him.
Right.
And that's the way He wants it. But when He's coming back there, He's King. He's no longer dealing with you and I in salvation.
Right.
He's no longer revealing Himself in salvation.
Right.
And when a new name is made known, no one will know that name but he to whom it's revealed.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. I think it's about 3:2 or something like that, isn't it? It's in the church age there. You can't tell it to nobody else. Go out and tell the world the name of God is Jesus. I heard a man years ago quote more scripture than I would in any sermon or 10 sermons in one time. You know what he said? He said, "You want to know what the name of God is?" He said, "I'll just tell you what it is." He says, "God." I thought, well, that was his thought. You know? But see, the name of God is Jesus.
Amen.
Because it's the only name God ever had. He said, "I come in my Father's name." Well, then His Father's name was Jesus. And that don't make Him two people. When He came, He was the Father made manifest.
Right. Amen.
That's why we believe in one true and living God.
Right.
Right. But see, there will come a time when He will be King.
Right.
And a new name can be revealed. It may still be Jesus. I don't worry about it. But it'd be Jesus King. Or King Jesus. But just remember, you'll have that same name. Didn't the prophets say that we're little Messiahs? Why? Because He's the Messiah. Whatever His name is, what my name is. Don't any of you sisters ever ask me to do a wedding for you, or any brothers either, and tell me that your wife wants to keep her maiden name. I'll just tell you up front, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it, because that won't work. That's why the wife, the woman, she gives up her name to take His name. And that's what I done. I gave up mine to take His. Right. Let me be what he wants me to be. But you see what I'm talking about. The millennium is a honeymoon for the bride and the bridegroom. Now, me and my wife had a short one. We stayed one night away because we couldn't afford two. We probably couldn't afford it the first one. My brother-in-law hadn't given me some money the day we got married. I don't know what we'd have done. I guess we'd have come back home after we got married. I don't through her family, I guess. But still, it's a honeymoon. You know. What do you do when you first get married? You learn a lot about each other, don't you? Some things you don't like. Right? But when you first get married, what is the first year or so doing? You know that in the Bible that if when a man got married, he was forbidden to go to war. You know, I can prove it in the Bible. When he in Israel, when they got married, he was forbidden to go to war for 1 year. Why? Because it's a get acquainted time. It's a learning each other. It's an experience. What we know about Jesus Christ here, folks, is just a foundation that when we meet Him and we go through a marriage supper and all like that, and then we come back to earth in the millennium, that it'll be so marvelous. We cannot exhaust the name of Jesus. Right? And we get there, we'll still be knowing more about Him. Then you get where you just become one. Like I told you, me and my wife, we'd be going to town. Of course, now we're both getting forgetful. We really forget what we're going to town for. Sometimes we have to come back home and figure out what we went to town for. But that's because of age. We used to be going to town. We'd be going up the road, and I'd say, "Honey, you want?" She'd say, "Yeah, Ryan's." You know, or she'd say, "Red Lobster." Something like that. See, because we begin to think alike. Like I've always told you, if man and wife live together long enough, they start looking alike. Danny and Joyce just ain't been married long enough. But listen, no, I'm not making a joke, but it is the truth, right? It's a medical proven truth that it works. But listen. See, in the millennium, we're not going to the millennium to do what a lot of people think we're to do. It's a honeymoon. Sure, we'll rule over the people of the world during the millennium, right? But there won't be a white throne in the millennium. The white throne is after the millennium. All right? It'll be a wonderful time of getting acquainted, you know, and knowing. You know the prophet I gave you a quote where that in the millennium there would be a millennium temple to be built. In the millennium, Daniel 70 weeks. And you know what? Somebody beats us here and builds all of that, because the prophet goes right on down in that same message, if you'll read it, and he says the bride is the anointing to that temple. See, the Shekinah glory come down when they finished it back there with David and Solomon and things, you know. The Shekinah glory came down. So that's how much he thinks of us. Because when it comes to that time, we are the anointing to that temple. Why? Because we're one with him. If he's the Shekinah glory, we're the Shekinah glory. If he's the king, we're the king. Whatever name he has will be the same name we have. But I'm trying to get the point to you to see, whatever that name is, you will never be able to tell it to anybody else. I was listening, what is it? Now I may miss this, but it's in the scripture. I was looking at it the other day because I write down on my Bible. I believe I'm right in saying the Shunammite. And we talk about a Shunammite, but see, a lot of those things are pet names. The reason some of those names appears like that, especially about Solomon and his wife or something like that, it'll be a pet name. You know, I mean, you have a pet name. Well, see, me and my wife has always been, since any of the kids come along, really, we've been since Waden Nan was born. We've been just really basically almost Nanny and Poppy. For sure, when Josh came along, we just developed Nanny and Poppy. Well, she don't like it a lot of times, but that's my pet name for her, Nanny. See? And I'll be in the crowd, I say, hey, Nanny, my name's not Nanny. But that's wonderful to me. I'll get off that, get on Songs of Solomon. I'll try to get on there this afternoon. When God describes a beautiful wife and what she looked like. A neck like a swan, legs like a jaybird, and everything else. And he's describing a beautiful wife, or a flock of rams running across the hills, and God's describing his bride. Okay, we'll get on that this evening, maybe. But listen. The millennium is a special designation. It is for you and I to be a honeymoon. It is a get acquainted a time to learn about the one that we have served upon this earth and been here with. And you know, we'll be right here on this earth in human bodies. A lot of people think we'll only be in a theophany during the millennium. Well, why are you going to get a change? A change has already happened 3.5 years before then. That you go up in a rapture and you get a change of the body. Because they just can't figure out how we can be here. But we'll be here like he's here. Have a body like unto his body, which will be an eternal body. He went up, come back in an eternal body, enough that they could touch him and enough that he could eat. But also enough that he could walk through the wall. Eternal has a lot more to do with it than what we think. But listen, now here's the point I'm trying to get to. See, why do we have a millennium? It is a honeymoon, yes. But why is there a millennial reign? Now watch this about the chain of circumstances where the devil has no one to work through. And if we can see this, then you'll see that he's losing that power now. He's losing the power that he thought he had. Because in the seals, remember, he receives power. Remember in the Bible it says he received power. They received power as kings or something. See, everything Satan gets, he has to receive it. And the biggest problem is you and I are the ones that's giving him the power. Fear is Satan working through your mental capacity. And if you turn him down, that's what the Bible says, you know. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The prophet said, resist me, just turn him down. Boy, devil, I resist you. I've heard people pray like that. That don't do no good. He just sitting there laughing at you. Just turn him down. He comes to you with a thought, just turn him down. He shows you something in a thought or whatever, just turn it down. And you'll find out he gets so upset with you, he don't know what to do with you. But if you keep entertaining that thought, which is what I do most of the time, how about you? Then by entertaining that thought, I let him take over. I give him the power. Under that white horse rider, he had to get a power. The people gave him the power.
Right. Amen.
A crown was given unto him by the people. He didn't have one. The devil doesn't have anything. It's just what we give him.
Right.
Well, what about him being chained now? What about him for 1,000 years? You ever thought about it? I tried to express this, I remember one time years ago. But you ever thought about the devil sitting up over somewhere? I don't know where he'd be. But he's sitting there looking down. And he cannot get to anybody for 1,000 years. Now we think it's horrible sometimes we go through an hour of problems and troubles, you know, something going wrong. But what about the devil sitting there and ain't the thing in the world he can do about it? He can't go to sleep. He's not tired like that, so he doesn't go to sleep and rest 1,000 years. He's sitting watching. What? Watching you have a wonderful time up on earth when he knows. I just don't understand. Because when they was back on earth, I played in their mind all the time. I put thoughts in their mind all the time, and now I can't do it. You don't have to resist him there. He won't be able to tempt you. But see, we ought to get to the place that we just resist him now. Listen. But see, the millennium is a honeymoon for you and I. But it's another day for the other people. The millennial reign is really to Israel. It is not to you and I. It is to Israel. Because that's the promise to David. Right? That his son would sit on his throne. And the millennial reign is when he'll be son of David. Right? He'll be manifesting himself then as son of David to Israel. But to you and I, he'll be ever what that King of Kings is. But to Israel, it'll be son of David. That's why that little siphon, that little woman there, you know, said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." She was a Gentile. See? He never stopped. Read your Bible. He didn't stop. Son of David! Never stopped. Finally she said, "Lord!" He was her Lord. He stopped and gave her what she asked for. She had no right. You remember the one that was there with him and said, the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Jesus said, "I found no such faith in Israel." Like I've always tried to get you to see was, you know, he come to get a Gentile bride because he knew Israel was going to turn him down. He come to get a Gentile bride. You know what that reminded him of? Because there was a Gentile that he called a dog. That reminded him of what he come to do. He gave her what she asked for. But listen, church. See? The sin curse will be taken off one day of this world. For 1,000 years. The sin curse that started in the seventh day, because man never sinned in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth day. He was only created on the sixth day. And God took a seventh day rest, and that's what all the Old Testament, number seven, was about, the Sabbaths and the things like that. The rest of the land where it would lay out every 7 years, you know. All that was just speaking of a time. Because see, we as human mortals fell in the rest day. So then the millennium, the prophet said, is given to show the sin curse is gone. Somebody's going to live 1,000 years. What does it matter how long we live, because we'll be eternal beings? Mortal people will live on earth for 1,000 years. Prophet said there'd be a gospel to the heathen in the millennium. About 14, 15, 16, right in there, the church age book. All right. What all that has to do, I don't know. I'm not really worried about it. Because what it is, you know, have you ever had anybody to... So I hate it when somebody starts telling me what a movie they saw or something that's a good movie about a good Christian movie. I'm not talking about the world now. Somebody comes along and they say, "Have you seen this movie about David?" And David doesn't say, I want them to shut up. You know why? I don't enjoy the movie. Give me the movie, hand it to me, I'll play it. I like to get involved that way. I hate it when you tell me half the movie and won't tell me all of it. And when you tell me all of it, I don't want to even hear it, see the movie. I used to be so nervous in all of my life. I was preaching three services a week here for many, many, many years. And if I didn't have Wednesday night service by Monday morning, I was dead. I was worried to death. And then Wednesday night, quick as it all went, I started getting Sunday services ready. And I was so nervous, I couldn't stand it. You know what I do now? Sometimes I don't even write a note until Saturday night. Sometimes I don't write one until Sunday morning. Now, I think, you know, I think about things, write little notes, throw it down. Do you know why? Once I preach a sermon, I don't want to preach it again. I'd be a bad evangelist trying to go about the country trying to preach the same sermon over and over. But I don't want to preach the same sermon. I want it fresh. Because it's the Word. All right, follow me now. Listen. The seventh day is the rest, and that's where we fail at. So to show that the sin curse is gone, somebody's going to live 1,000 years. Somebody's going to live right here 1,000 years. Now that 1,000 years will be 360 days to the year, not 365 and the fourth, because it'll be back under God's perfect calendar time, but it'll still be 1,000 years. That somebody's going to live on the earth. And you and I are going to be there. And they're going to see us. And they're going to know who we are. They're going to recognize who we are. Because I believe now, this was brought up in, and I don't know the answers, but I'm going to just bring it back up, but it was brought up in the Bible study they said on Saturday night, Revelation 19, where it says, you know, he has a on his thigh. Well, I've looked up as much as I can with Brother Branham and the things, because we've talked about it. Some have mentioned it. Wade and Richard and them talked about it and all like that. And I can't find an answer really what it is. But I do know one thing. It's on his vesture and his thigh. Well, that's what it says in Revelation. It's on his vesture and his thigh. Now, the vesture is just like the garment that Jesus, they cast lots for his vesture, which was his garments. Now, whether that garment goes all the way down to the, you know, all the way down, or whether it's a two-piece garment. I don't. Because it just says on his vesture and his thigh, the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I know all about how that Jacob was touched in the thigh, you know, and became a limping prince and all of that. And I believe all that's involved. But I don't know the answer, but I do know one thing. Whatever's written on him is written on the ones that's following him. And if it's a garment with a sign written down the side, amen. If it's like Richard said, you know, a lot of times when they do these, what you call them, airbrush deals or something, where they're writing on T-shirts and things, you know, you just keep putting on there what you want on it. The same thing may be all the way around. It may be all over that garment that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't know. It may not have a thing written on there. But we'll know who he is. Because we'll have on that same garment. And we'll be riding on white horses just like him. Coming back to the millennial reign. Whatever he is, that's what we are. And we'll be looking just like him to come back to earth for 1,000 years. But remember, it's not for us. It's a honeymoon. It's for the people of Israel to show the son of David, the ruler, the king, is to be on earth. And see, then truly he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the millennial reign. For 1,000 years, Satan can't do nothing but sit by and look. He just sits and looks. He can't do anything. All right? Because he's bound. But I like the way Brother Branham was talking about when that demon was coming at him that time, you know, and he kept saying boo, it was in a vision, you know, dream or whatever. And he said he got smaller and smaller and smaller. But after a while he just got tired of doing that, he started saying boo back at him. And he said it wasn't long until he started booing back at him until Satan got to getting smaller. He got to getting bigger. Well, I think it's time you and I, if we're planning on being in the millennium, everybody wants to know what's going to go on in the millennium. How about babies in the millennium? Now, I'll tell you up front, I do not believe in babies born from the bride of Jesus Christ in the millennium. I don't believe that. Because don't put sex back in the picture in an eternal body. And if you say it's just a theophany, you better not put sex in there then. That's just plain. I get notes back every once in a while. People say, I like your plain way of saying it. Well, at least you don't have to worry about what I believe. I don't believe there'll be any babies born by bride in the millennium. Now, from the sinners, the heathen that's there, that's none of my business. Because I'm not going to be worried about it. But listen, church, the sin curse to be removed. Now, here's my point, just a minute. Don't you believe that if the sin curse there is going to be removed? Don't you believe that a change of the body is only going to come because a sin curse has been removed from a group of people on the earth called the bride of Jesus Christ? You know what the sin curse is upon us? He that is born to woman must die. Somebody's not going to die. Why don't we contend that we're part of it? And to do that, we prove the sin curse is gone. Because the Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die. I remember years ago, some of the brothers was preaching how Jesus broke the law. I said, you better be careful about that. Because he was Almighty God, the one that wrote the law. Don't say that he broke his own law now. But I said, I will tell you one incident in the Bible where he does this. I said, because my Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die. Jesus Christ has got to break that scripture. He's not going to break it in the basis of destroying it or annihilating it. He's going to fulfill it in somebody because he went down and he came back up. But somebody's not going to die. Because Paul said, changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. So why can't we believe the sin curse is gone? Now, there ain't but one way to believe the sin curse is gone. That's to believe what God has said about you. And that's what I've been preaching all this time. He said, I'm righteous. When am I going to say I'm righteous? Well, I guess you could say that in a way. But I have a lot of problems. You want to swap with him? Would you like to swap with the Lord Jesus? Would you like to stay the rest of the evening to talk about what he went through? If you'd have been there, you wouldn't have thought he is perfect either. I make mistakes every day, don't you? The prophet said he did. But there's one thing about it. I don't glory in my mistakes. I glory in what he says about me. He said I was a king. How can we as mortal people think about that? Come on, brother. How can we think of those things? How can we even consider the fact of being perfect? We can't. But just as I never thought in my life, how many of you knew what it meant that Satan would be chained for 1,000 years? Did you know what that was before you heard the prophet? No, we thought it was a bunch of log chains or some kind of form, and we knew that Satan, being some form of a supernatural type of a being, that wondered what kind of log chain was going to hold him. Right? We thought it'd be some kind of battle, maybe between Michael and the devil, you know, because they fought in the beginning, and maybe he'd fight it out again with him, and he'd wrap him up in chains, and he'd hold him. Until we found out in the Garden of Gethsemane. Right? In the Garden of Gethsemane, not on Calvary, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when a man come to a place, and he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But said, nevertheless, thy will be done. He never spoke hardly anything from then on. Because the Bible said he was as a sheep before the shearer's dumb. He overcame in the garden. The battle was settled right there. There is where the devil was chained at. And when you and I get to the place that we let the devil tell us how bad we are, why don't you start telling him what's going to happen to him? He starts telling you, Danny, how bad you are and what this is and what that is. They start telling him what's going to happen to you. Say, oh boy, did you know one of these days you're going to be non-existent? You know, one of these days you're going to sit and watch me for 1,000 years. And God ain't going to let you sleep. He's going to keep you wide awake, sitting looking down from somewhere until He can see every one of us and see what a wonderful time we'll be having. Remind Him of His future, because it's very short. The Bible said that He had just a little season. He's upset now because of all of this, and look at what He's doing around the world. He's bringing everything to a climax, a finish. Getting ready to fulfill the Word. Playing right into the hands of Almighty God to do what God wants Him to do. And He thinks He's some kind of something that's in charge. Right? You know, I feel sorry for Him sometimes. You know? A lot of people, I've said that, and a lot of people, I don't feel sorry for the devil. But you don't know what I'm talking about either. Because the reason I feel sorry for Him is He can't be saved. He had an opportunity to stay where He was. He rejected that, and He'll never have an opportunity to be restored again. And it's odd to me how that you go in there and you find that even some people are cast into the lake of fire before the white throne judgment. The devil don't have much of an opportunity. Let's think. What do we got? 172. If anybody has a need. Prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. Get in. Me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God. Let's just believe, because we know He's the healer. Father, our brother, Lord, he's having some problems with the back of his neck and things. We know what it is, Satan, one after the other, trying to do everything he can to hinder our brother in every way. But yet he's walking now as you promised him. He's doing the things. He's back at work when it was a medical impossibility a year ago. But now it's a true reality in Jesus Christ. So will this be, because we count it so and we believe it. In Jesus' name. Just go saying, I'm healed. I'm healed, because that's what it is. Let me say what God says. He says, I'm healed. Then let's believe it. We're going to believe it is. Father, our brother's passing blood on his bladder again. But now he says he believes it's already stopped. So we ask you to make that manifest now and everything be all right. We believe you. We thank you. By your stripes, our brother is healed. And we believe you, Father, because you said it. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? The bonds of prison for me, I'm glory bound. Are you? See, for glory to God. Our brother wants the Holy Ghost. How many here will believe with him? Father, our brother wants to give honor to you of the Holy Ghost that would lead and guide him and to fill his heart with your love. To honor you. Give honor to your name. Give honor to the Holy Ghost that would be among us. And now come and just fill our brother's heart with all the desire that he has for you. Because we believe it. You said if we would believe and receive that you would give us all things through Christ Jesus. We believe that today and we thank you. Father, just come and fulfill the desire of our brother's heart. In Jesus' name. Just go believing it, brother, and say, I've got it. I've got what I asked for. I gave honor to him, glory his name, and I have it. Then when the devil says you don't have it, say, well, why did you tell me that? Think about that. When the devil tells you you don't have something, and it can't be God telling you you don't have it, because God never tells you you don't have anything. So they tell the devil, say, just go on. I believe God gave it to me. Our brother needs more strength than God. Is that all of our desire? More into his heart, Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We believe thy word. You said if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. So we believe it. And we pray now that you would just make this a manifestation in our brother's life. That he would see Christ living in him. Not see himself, but to see what you made him. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Anybody else? They believe it and say it. Climbing high. Anybody else? Darkness of night has drifted away. Saying boo to the devil. The prophet said it's not what you overcome, it's how you overcome it. One for each one. Father, our sister is asking for someone else. We send these prayer cloths. They've been prayed over. Everything, Lord, anointed, ready for you. And now we believe with our sister that you'll give this couple a child. And Father, it'll be up for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Just tell them to pray. Believe it. Anybody else? Prison for me, I'm glory bound, my Jesus received. Glory to God. Sing it to one another as you're leaving. Remember the service is 2:00. Me free, yes, he said.